All right, class. We're going to be looking at about three different sets of scriptures here. But I want to make some statements prior to going into the lesson. And after this lesson, I think we got one more week, am I right? And I'm going to try to do some reviewing on next Monday, trying to refresh us up. So I know finals going to be coming along, give us an idea of what we're going to be talking about or what we're going to be testing about, some things that we should know when we leave this class. If you don't remember certain things, there's some things you should remember. And that's what we're going to try to focus on, the nuggets that we're going to pull out of this class. So here's some statement I need to make, because last week we kind of dealt with some things concerning this lifestyle of obedience, why we should be in obedience, and we're talking about the purpose of it, trying to bring us up to speed. But here's some things that are going to put us into the avenue. When I say avenue, I'm talking about the van. You know, when you get to the van of obedience, what's going to make everything work? What's going to make everything functional? What's going to please the Father? What's going to make us capable of being who God wants us to be is in this van that we're about to talk about here. We're about to get in this van because this is where the water turns into wine. This is the Emancipation Proclamation, if there's such a thing of this. And because you need to hear this close, because if you don't get this, everything I've said is void. None effect. All right, because this is going to be the binder that's going to bind everything together. I'm making some kind of sense. I'm showing you how important it is to understand what we're about to say today, okay? So, listen to the first statement. God must empty us. Four words, but these four words carry a lot of weight. God must empty us. It's the process of us emptying ourselves, but God's going to make that process. God's going to make that process available unto us. What do you mean? You're going to go through the process without knowing you're going through the process. Anybody ever been through something, didn't know they were going through it for their good? Some situation, some experiences you have. It's part of God's process, but sometimes you don't know you're going through a process. And that's what God must empty us mean. I'm emptying myself, but yet God provides the process by which we empty ourselves. I hope I'm making sense to you. I can see it, but I want you to see it. I want you to see what I see. All right? Now, with God emptying us, it's emptying us of our own will, our own ways, our own ideas, our own insight. In other words, for God's plan to become functional in us, we have to drop all of our plans and pick up God's plan. That's a process of emptying ourselves. Now, I thought about a scripture that shed light to me on what God did through Jesus. Jesus had to empty himself to come to glory, to come to this earth, right? Remember we talked about that in the obedience of the Son? Jesus had to empty himself so much that when he came to earth, men did not recognize Jesus as the Son of God. That's a lot. We don't have to empty ourselves that much that people don't recognize who you are. And maybe we should. So that'd be a mark of when we know we empty ourselves. Oh, I don't recognize you no more, child. I mean, you didn't empty yourself. I mean, you didn't change. Now, turn to 1 Chronicles 29, I think verse 11 and 12. And I want to read those verses, because you're going to see Jesus in his glory, okay? Where he was before he emptied himself. So you know the process that Jesus went through was a great lowering, L-O-W-R-I-N-G, a lowering, I can't really say it, a lowering of himself. 1 Chronicles 29, I'm going to look at verse 11. Everybody got it? Okay, look what it says here. Now, this was David, when David blessed the Lord. The 11th verse said, well, let's start the 10th verse. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. You know, when you talk about God, you talk about Jesus, right? Okay, so I want you to know. For thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Just Selah, pause and think about that. And the power, this is Jesus, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven, talking about Jesus, and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And he's not through yet. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great, and is to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. That word that David blessed the Lord with was talking about the bigness and greatness and the glorious and the majesty and the victory. He was talking about who God is and who Jesus was prior to him coming to earth. Now, Jesus stripped himself of all that to come to earth for us. I won't show you where he came from. Everything that he was, he stripped it and became as a man that he can show us how to do this thing as a man, walking in faith and in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus did. Now, I still have to say this. Now, we got to empty ourselves. It's almost like a reversal of self, self-will. Because the only thing keeping us from doing what God wants us to do is our own ways, our own will. And that's what we got to empty. Remember in the 26th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, and then he was wrestling with the will of God? He said, Lord, not my will. After stripping, that we got to be able to say that almost every morning you wake up. Lord, I don't want my will to be done today. I want thy will to be done. That's the power. That's yielding oneself to the work of God. Yielding oneself to obey God in whatever you want me to do, Lord. I don't want what I want today. I want to do what you want me to do today. You see it? Now that's one of the marks of understanding this lesson. When your will has been set aside for God's will. Everything comes before your will. You see it? Now, let me make some of these statements that need to get down. God must empty us. You know, I say God empty us, but really we emptying ourselves. Because God can't make us do anything against our will. But God gave us the avenue to do it. God gave us the choice. Everybody say choice. God always gives us a choice to make the right. I put life and death before you. Choose life. You see what I'm saying? God gave us always a choice to obey or not to obey. You always got a choice. You see it? Because if you don't have a choice, then you'll be robotical. You'll be a robot. God didn't raise up a robot. God wanted a person with feelings, a person with understanding, a person with a will, a person to decide. Do you want somebody to love you because you make them love you? No, you can't make nobody love you. You want somebody to love me because you love me for me. Don't love me for what I do for you. Love me as a person. So that's where the will come in, at the will. And so that was Jesus praying in Gethsemane. So God must empty us before his will can be carried out without interference. So if my will involved, my thoughts involved, my ideas involved, it becomes an interference. Interference. You're stopping God from doing what he wants to do. Do you want to interfere with God's plans? I guess not. Listen to this. Not consciously. You see it? But we get so much in our own ways, we do things unconsciously. A second nature. We do things without even thinking. We disobey God without even thinking about we disobeying him. Does that ring a bell anywhere? You disobey God, just naturally disobey God without even intentionally wanting to disobey God. That's something, huh? We're so used to being our own person. We just do things because that's the way we've been doing it and don't know we're in disobedience. That's why we've been programmed. The system programmed us like that. From the day you went to school, it programmed you. The day you're born, you've been programmed by the world system. The media tell you what to put to like. The commercial tell you what you're supposed to like to eat and what you don't eat. You've been programmed by the world system, and then so you do things automatically without any thinking. I told a man today, Apostle sent us a text about a video about what the enemy is trying to do. You see, he's trying to put creation before the creator. I understand that. Invention, you see, before the creation. And I told a young man today, I said, here's what the enemy want to do. He want us to take these creations, these inventions, even this, what I got in my hand, this is an invention, it's good if you use it right, but you don't even have to think. 24 times 35, I ain't got to think for that. It tells me what I even thinking. So Satan doesn't want us to use our mind. He wants to strip us of our mind. He wants to give us the answer. I got this little thing called, hit the little button, and I forget what the lady name, Alexa or something. Alexa, how many miles to the sun? It tell me would I even have to do anything. What I'm saying is, this system is programming us. We got to be programmed by God's spirit and God's word. And that's how we're going to obey God. It takes effort. That's my point. It takes effort to obey God. I saw a man today. A man came to do some work here. And I knew I was supposed to tell him something about Jesus. You see it? But I wrestled with it because it takes effort to obey. I had to fight my will. I had to fight my mind telling me, oh, this man don't want to hear nothing but Jesus. I had to go against my thoughts and my understanding, and I had to fight. You got to fight to obey. Naturally, you don't obey. So it takes an effort. Now, with all that saying, I'm trying to prelude us for what I'm about to say. These are the secret things that we need to know about obedience and God's will. All right, the next statement is, Jesus stripped himself of all the glory that he possessed with the Father. The way of service is forever blocked if we bring in man's thoughts and ideas. The way of service, the way of serving God is forever blocked if we bring in man's thoughts and man's ideas. Listen to this. man's thoughts must be totally cast aside. In the past, we found freedom living by ourselves. Now, we find true freedom in having our thoughts recaptured by God through the obedience of Christ. What do you mean, recapturing our thoughts? In other words, remember scripture, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And in other words, says in 1 Corinthians, it says casting down imagination and every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought that's taking your thought back captive. In other words, you're casting down your thoughts and bringing in his thoughts. What is God's thoughts? What the word of God says. You see it? So our thoughts got to be recaptured. Thoughts have to be recaptured. God's thoughts got to be taken back. And your thoughts got to be cast down. Everybody know what I'm talking about thoughts. No, our ways, our ideas, our motives, our understanding about some. Yeah, you need to understand when you cross the street. You need to look left and right, or you're going to get run over. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when it comes to doing the service, like he's talking about here, the service of God. This whole thing, you in this school to do service for God. That's why you're here. You want to do service, but I want to know how to do service. Because a lot of people are doing a lot of things, but God's not pleased with it. Because that's not what God wants. Everything people do is not what God wants. Ask Nadab and Abihu. They want to offer sacrifice. And ask them what happened to them. We got a record of them. They were burnt. That would happen. They can't answer for themselves. Because they won't do what they want to do. And they thought it was God's idea behind it. People do something and want to add God to it. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. They want to get an idea and want God to bless it. God is behind all this. All these things people want to do. God is behind everything. It's a good idea. But you don't miss God with your good idea. God's supposed to call the shots in your life. The Bible said if the high priest didn't make any move, them boys shouldn't have made no move. If the father wouldn't have made no move, they shouldn't have made no move. They moved without authority. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Now, here's the next statement. All about service. In losing our freedom, we gain true freedom in the Lord, being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. 2 Corinthians 10 and 6. Now listen to this now. This is where Jesus lived. Jesus lived here. Perfect obedience is possible only after the thought or recaptured. Perfect obedience is possible only after the thought or recaptured. I'll think about something Jesus said one time. He had to correct one disciple. He said, you don't know what spirit this is to have you say this. He was rebuking. I think it was Peter rebuking. I remember a time he took Peter, James, and John on the mountain with them. And then Elijah appeared. And then one of the other prophets appeared. Moses and Elijah appeared. And then they want to build 3 tabernacles. The Lord said, ain't no time to build no tabernacle. Why you want to build a tabernacle? That wasn't God's will at that time. Just to be quiet and listen. So what I'm saying is sometimes people do things, it sounds spiritual, it even sounds like it was an honor to God. I got it now. But it's totally out of the will of God. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Are you hearing me? All who still incline to offer counsel to God. Oh, my goodness. You hear what I just said? All who still incline to offer counsel to God. Sometimes people don't think they're offering counsel to God. But sometimes the way you're thinking and the way you want to direct certain things, you're telling God, this is the way we're going to do this, Lord. Now, bless it. Shala ba 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 ta 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 ta. This is the way we're going to do this. So, do God need your counsel? No. All who still incline to offer counsel to God are not truly obedient. The Lord is ready to avenge all disobedience when our obedience has been completed. If we, as a company of believers, can turn so thoroughly as to obey God absolutely, fearing our own ideas and opinion, then God will be able to manifest his authority on the earth. Now he's saying, in other words, if we're not completely ready as believers to absolutely turn away from our own ideas and opinion, that we withhold God manifestation upon the earth. That's what he's saying. We hinder God manifestation. God want to manifest himself, but we hinder it by trying to direct things another way. That's why Apostle takes so much time to make sure he's following the Lord correctly and precisely. He don't want tainted with human ideas, human opinions. When God tells him something, he's not going to let nothing interfere with it. He's not going to let nobody else take it another way. That's what I love about him. He functions in accuracy when it comes to God. Because he knows if he do that, God can't manifest. He knows if the praise and worship don't go a certain way, God can't manifest. If you know the people not, if somebody just dancing all out of order, God can't manifest. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you're not functioning in God's divine order, you're holding God's hand back from manifesting. But the church been doing it for so long, they're disobedient. I don't know if that makes sense. they've been disobedient for so long, they don't know they're disobedient. I don't know if you call that. They've been doing what they wanted for so long. They've been programming God for so long, they ain't never seen a move of the Holy Ghost because they've been hindering it. They've been programming God. My mom used to go to the Baptist church, and she had a vision from God one time. And she told the church, she said, the Lord showed me less program and more prayers, because they were programming God out. You know what they told her? Yeah, the devil can show you dreams too. My mom said, I won't serve the devil. Because what it was, God was trying to tell them, don't program me. I'm tired being on your program. Take me off your program. Loose me and let me go. But they've been having their own ways for so long within the church. God can't come in. there are some people might want to get healed in some of these churches. God can't heal. That's a word that might save somebody's life. God can't manifest it for it because they're in such disobedience. Why? In their own ways. Am I making any kind of spiritual sense? Because I hope I am. Because this is very valuable, what we were saying here. This is holding God's hand. Time, God, a big God. I just read about all might and strength and victory and power and glory. And then all of a sudden, his hand gets tied. How are you going to tie his hand? You stuck in your own ways. That's how you tie God's hand. And then guess what? I'm going to narrow it down. Let's go outside. Just in your home, people tying their hand in their own home. They're hindering blessings in their own home with disobedience. Their own home. God said, I want to come in and bless you, but I can't because you're doing what you want to do in this house. Your house don't belong to God. Your children don't belong to you. All right, let me move. How can we expect the world? Oh, this is a good one here. I read this and I had to read it three times. How can we expect the world to be obedient if the church does not obey? Now I got to explain that a little bit. So how the world gonna be obedient? You're gonna say the world not even saved, but how they gonna be obedient? Well, let me tell you what it's saying. It's saying more than you hearing what it's saying. How can the world, there's one thing the world got to be obedient to. Watch, I'm going to reveal it to you. The world has to obey. How can we expect the world to be obedient if the church does not obey? A disobedient church cannot expect unbelievers to obey the gospel. Well, how are the unbelievers going to obey the gospel? You know what gospel we're talking about? The gospel of accepting Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. That's what they got to obey. The world got to obey that. But they're not going to obey that if the church ain't obeying God. Let me bring more spiritual sense into this statement here. Because you got to get this. How can we expect the world to be obedient if the church does not obey? A disobedient church cannot expect unbelievers to obey the gospel. You're talking about submitting to Jesus as Lord. That's what we're talking about obeying. Yeah. Obeying Jesus. People going to hell because of some churches ain't doing what God said they do. Whole generation go to hell. The world not going to obey. I'm going to show you the scripture that's going to go with this. Romans 10. Somebody read Romans 10 and 16 for me. Find Romans 10 and 16 and speedily. Speedily read it. Not like Lacey took at me last week. I lost 2 minutes. Who got it? Read aloud. You got it? Read aloud.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel.
Keep reading.
Essa says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Okay, you see, well, we took that scripture to try to get things. So faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So Lord, they did not believe our report. They did not all obey the gospel. What? What's our gospel? Jesus died for your sins. The world got to have faith for salvation. We give them faith for salvation by preaching the gospel. How can they preach unless they're sent? They cannot be saved unless we do what God says do. We're hindering the church. The church is hindering sinners from getting saved. Boy, that sounds like a backward statement, huh? How the church will hinder sinners from getting saved? They're standing in the way of sinners. They can't hear for them sometimes. I know I'm talking the whole truth. It might not sound that good, but the truth. They have not obeyed the gospel. They sure haven't. Where was I? Here it is now. Now look, I got 10 minutes. Let me wrap some of this up in 10 minutes here now. And make this statement, then I'm gonna move on. We must all learn to accept discipline that our mouth may be so instructed as not to speak loosely, our mind not to argue, and our heart not to offer counsel. I'm gonna read again. We must all learn to accept discipline that our mouth may be so instructed as not to speak loosely, our mind not to argue, and our heart not to offer counsel. You know what this is doing? This is giving, putting us in a position to take self out of this thing, because I don't want to contaminate nothing, Lord, that you want me to do. I don't want to interfere with anything that's going to interfere with your will being done on earth. I don't want nothing to happen on my watch. If somebody go to hell, I don't want to be my fault. I don't want to block this. I don't want to be the one that caused this man to go to hell. You know, Scripture talks about staying in the way of sinners. I think Psalms say that. No, I sit it in the sea of the scornful. No, stand in the way of sinners. The church do it, don't even know they're doing it. Now, let's move on a little bit. The measure of obeying authority, and I call it fulfilling God's will upon the earth. Now, sometimes when you got to obey authority, you got to go against the earthly grain. You got to go against this world system to obey authority. But that's the only way God's gonna get done. When you obey God's authority, sometimes you got to disobey this world authority. Let me give you an example. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. What happened here was after Joseph died, you know, Joseph, Jacob's son, Joseph was made a prince over Egypt. After he died, the Bible said another man rose up that knew not Joseph and knew not the children of Israel. So this Pharaoh rose up here. He had different plans. He said, if we don't do something with these people here, what's going to happen is they're going to outnumber us. And then when war comes, they're going to fight against us. So he said, let's kill all the, they made a plan. Let's kill all the male children. And so that was the king's plan. He grabbed the midwife. He said, look, when that child come out, you kill him instantly. But the midwife did not obey God. I mean, not obey Pharaoh, the king, because they feared God, the Bible says. So they took Moses and put him in the basket against the king's will. So sometimes you got to go against this world system to obey God. And persecution might come for it. Yeah, he'll come for it. I tell my boss on the job, sometimes on those jobs, they want you to do some things that don't go with your Christian belief. All they want is make money. I'll obey you as a supervisor. I said, but certain things, I'm just not going to cross the line when I interfere with God. You know God will back you up. God take care of you when you take a stand like that. Now, that was Moses did. I mean, that what they did for Moses. Here's another one now. I'm trying to go through them quickly. Here's another one. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Remember those? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They had an order from the king. If they don't bow down to the golden image which Nebuchadnezzar made, what was going to happen was, you need to read that in the third chapter of Daniel. If they don't bow down, what's going to happen is they're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And then they didn't obey the king's orders because they said, we don't bow nobody to our God. And to make a long story short, they threw them in. The men that threw them in, they got burned. Then the king was looking at them. He said, I thought we threw three, and I see four. One looks like the Son of God. And then he made a decree. From now on, everybody got to serve Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego with God from this day forward. God vindicate. The Bible said they didn't have a stench of smoke on their clothes. Their hair wasn't singed. They were walking around talking inside them. Fire high enough to come out the furnace and lick men up. Tell me God's not able. And then another one, Daniel, in the sixth chapter of Daniel. Daniel had to deal with these people. The king Darius made Daniel over all his governors. See, he said, look, you're going to run this whole region here. I'm trying to hurry for the time. And so Daniel made his mind up. Daniel prayed three times a day, and he would open his window up. James said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God until salvation. He had that scripture here, but that's what he was saying. And so Daniel would pray, and these people reported to the king. And the king took Daniel. The king really didn't want to do it, but he made a decree. Threw him into the lion's den. And then it bothered the king all night long. Then the king went early. Read that story sometime. The king went early in the morning. Oh, Daniel, did thy God deliver thee? He said, yeah, O king. Boy, the king was so happy. The Bible said he got happy. And what happened was the men that accused him, he threw them into the lion's den. And the Bible said before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions had tore. That's how somebody said that wasn't no hungry lion. Before they reached the bottom, the lions had tore them apart, them and their children. Sometimes you drag your whole family in. You see it? You gotta be careful when you mess with God's children that obeying God. See, that's why when people try to touch our apostle, because he obeyed God, oh, you better be careful. Be careful, do these men. As he told Gamaliel, said, you might find yourself fighting against God. Touch not my anointed, God said, and do my prophets no harm. People don't understand the things that can happen when you come against God's child that obeying him. Who? A man that obey God? That's why they call David a man after God's own heart. Because of David. Yeah, David made mistakes. But God looked at his obedient heart. David was so obedient. God honored him so much that his seed, Jesus came through the seed of David. My goodness, how much honor can a man get when his seed, Jesus' seed, came through the lineage of David? Ain't that powerful? Don't tell me obedience ain't important. Don't tell me God want us to be able to go further than we are. Maybe we're not going further because we're not walking in full obedience. Maybe we're hindering ourselves. Are we obeying like we should? Are we doing everything God said to do? Are we mixing our own ideas and opinions with it? You understand what I'm trying to get at? No, we don't want to hinder God no more. No, we're going to do what's right. And we're going to do what's profitable for ourselves and for our children. Amen. I'm almost done. 23 seconds. Listen to this now. And then I'm closing with this. This is another translation. With Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They said, they disobeyed my orders and risked their own life rather than bow down and worship any god except their own. They disobeyed my orders. Amen. Mm-hmm. That time went so fast. So look, we're gonna do a review next week. And I tried my best to wrap this thing up where you can understand. But I'm gonna do a study guide so we all know exactly where we're coming from with our test, all right? Yes, sir. Class is ended. I think you're supposed to go to the larger classroom. Go in peace.